Hi, I'm Ben Richardson, and you're listening to the Karate Podcast, where we talk about karate, the competitive sport of Kumite, and the warrior's journey. Brought to you in association with Kumite Coach, the world's first progressive online high-definition coaching platform, created by coaches and fighters for coaches, fighters, and students of karate. Join KumiteCoach.com today and take your karate to the next level. Okay, guys, welcome to another episode of the Karate Podcast. I am super excited today to have with me Panayotis Loizides from Cyprus. Last time we had Pan on, it was episode 5. This is episode 43 today. And this was all pre-Olympics. I think maybe just start of the pandemic, Pan was on talking about his experience. And at the time, he was living with and coaching alongside Paul Newby Sensei. So Pan, welcome back to the show. It's great to see you. Looking fantastic. You're looking good health. So let's start off, Pan. Let's talk about that Olympic experience, because we haven't had anyone back on the show since then to talk about it. And I think, you know, it was a really unique event for karate. So just give me some of your insight to start with on what was the process leading up to the tournament.
Hard. Yeah. Training, like, you know, trouble. I'm still training on the same pace, to be fair. Like, but yeah, it was hard. It was professional. It was fun memories, like just with the guys that we trained in. We had a little team. Like, it was me, Jordan Thomas, Joe Calloway, Panayotis Papetas from Cyprus also. Like, he used to live with us as well. Chet Thompson. Yeah, so it was really fun times. Like, we all got so much better out of it, even though, like, none of us qualified. I think Jordan was, like, so close to qualify. So the closest of all of us to qualify. He went, I think, to the semis. He was winning, he lost. And then he fought Repachaj. He was winning again, he lost. Both in the last 5 seconds or something. You know, so he came really, really close to that. Like me, I won my first fight against Kuwait. It was 5-0, 5-1. Yes, yeah. Yeah, so I drew with Thailand, and I lost on flags. Then he drew with Noah Beach, and then lost on flags. So Noah Beach went to the Olympics in the end. It was, yeah, you know, it was. Some details missing, I think. Just wasn't my time personally yet. So yeah, it was just crucial details missing, I think. But I think it made us all to who we are today. And it was a beautiful, beautiful experience looking back at it. Paul Newby, it was our coach, and he helped us massively. Even though I fought for Cyprus, you know, I was like, one of their own, and he treated me like one, and I want to thank him as well for that.
I think, you know, for people who don't probably know the setup, it, just in terms of, you know, they might have just got into competition themselves or just have the experience of a regular kind of tournament basis where you've got lots of weight categories. You know, this was a different tournament in terms of the setup. The weight categories were merged, and the
people changed weight categories. Like, it was like, I think there was a guy from Greece, Dionysios Xenos, that like was like just the current European champions, minus 67. He moved up to 75, so his brother that was a minus 60 could fight in the minus 67. So he was all like, and I'm sure many countries like did that. I think Montenegro did that. Also, like, vice European champion, I think, a year before, And I fought him in the Euros in the minus 75, and it was like really, really close match. Like, then the minus 60 guy went to minus 67. So it's just like it was many like Douglas Bros didn't qualify because Vinicius, and then came to minus 75. It was all a bit like you didn't know who we were gonna fight.
And I think wasn't there a
Until the last week.
yeah and there was there a round robin at the final? Was that, am I think am I remembering that
Yeah.
correct? So
Yeah. So basically, if you've made the final, you didn't fight in the final. You went to a straight round robin, and then for the people you beat fought repechage, and then their winner went to the round robin as well. So
is it, yeah, it's extremely
you
hard.
were four people, and then three people qualified. So imagine the person like, wow, if he came that close. Like, as I know I said Jordan came close, but imagine like there was a guy like just
If
from
you're one
Netherlands.
in the round robin,
Iron, sorry.
then if you became one of the guys in that final round robin and then you
Yeah.
didn't qualify, oh,
Yeah.
that's oh.
There was a guy like next to us, like in the hotel, like from Team Netherlands, heavyweight Tyrone, I think it was called, and he qualified. And then the Canadian guy protested about something, and then they came back, gave the Canadian guy the win in the round robin, and he didn't qualify. He was like the fourth.
Oh no.
So yes, and then
Worst.
yeah, imagine that guy. But like like think. Even if you are that guy, or even if you lost the first round and you were like aiming for to go there, like it's still like a strong punch on the chin, you know. We're all competitors. We all fight to be the best, the number one. And like if it's not there, like you get really upset, really angry, sad, emotional, like you know them days. And you've been preparing for a long time, you know, all this. But for me, it just wasn't your time yet. It just, you weren't good enough yet, you know? So,
And
yeah.
I suppose outside of the actual Olympics themselves, that is probably the highest level tournament that's ever existed.
Yeah. Yeah, really high level. I can't really tell. Like, can we compare it to the world's, like to
I think
it's
we can today. Today we can.
yeah, yes, yeah. Like it's just different, I'd say. Hard, like the words, it's hard, you know.
Did you find that being in that tournament gave you confidence moving forward into, you know, the next competition year?
Yeah, every tournament, and that one specifically, yeah, like I took it all in, you know, all the experience, the walking, everything that just like, you know, can affect your performance. And yeah, it just the biggest battle is like here to keep focused, keep that like winning mentality, it's still like looking always every little second for like the way to win. So yeah, like, and if you don't do it, it means like you're not ready yet, you're not good enough yet. Someone is more like tough here, you know, and like and skill wise as well, like don't get me wrong, of course skills plays a massive role, but if it's like skill is there, everyone is fast, everyone is like flexible, everyone is like fit, you know, everyone is clever. It just being like, I think the difference is here, like to just like stay so focused that like and so like on it, like to win that like your opponent even like just gives up, you know, like and it's like, oh.
So being mentally strong is hugely important.
Yeah.
Do you incorporate any of men any mental training into your own training now?
Yeah. I try to like the train. I do sort of a breathing exercise where I just relax, and then after that I like visualize for 5 minutes every day. So, and just think of the next tournament, think of like the worst possible scenarios, what could go wrong, what could happen, how will I react? And I just put myself in like hard situations, harder than usual situations, like in the comp, I go to your stats and you're like behind, how do you feel? Like, okay, but what's how do you react? What's the goal now? Do we just give up? Do we just get really upset and we just like, go for it? But like, it's not the right thing. You just need to be like tough here to stay like so like sober and so conscious, like, and not like out get the emotions out and just be like killer, and just so.
So you're living in
It's
the
also
moment.
like a really nice journey of like martial arts and competing. I think you just like we all start like fighting. It's like a game, but like once you start stop and like think back, you're like this. If you look at it a certain way, like and like it's a game of discovering yourself, really. So if you discover yourself and you're honest with yourself and the way you feel and like you look back and it's not easy like to just tell yourself, okay, that's not right. You're like getting emotional, you're getting this and that, and it just you discover yourself, why are you getting emotional? Like, is it like a complex you have? Is it like why does something that someone said get got you like overthinking and got you like just thinking about it all day and then it just yeah.
Yeah, I think
A
that's
game
really
of discovering
interesting.
yourself, like I think and if you look at it that way, then you get the most out of martial arts and competing.
Yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely. And by putting yourself in those difficult scenarios and situations, rather than only focusing on what you want as an outcome of the match or an outcome for the tournament, or you're now looking at understanding from training at that high level, the highest, and competing at that highest level, that need those strategies in place before the match. So, like you say, when you come into that, if you get into a situation that it's really bad, you've already, potentially thought your way out of it, and then you can react more appropriately in the game.
Yeah, and these changes like you thought you could never do them. You just like you just think like you put everything under the carpet and you think, okay, it's just the best case scenario is gonna happen, but it's just not gonna happen. It's a fight, many fights. Like a day you like you have pains, you have like you get tired, you're like your opponent just reacts differently. You're like people like just talk nonsense and you're like so it's like you need to like take account of all these things if you want to be at the top and be at the top consistently, I think. So that's my goal.
Yeah. And do you watch your own fights back to help you look at those moments that you might have made errors and, use
Yes.
them and connect that to your visualization?
Yes. I try to watch all my fights back and try to see good stuff, to see bad stuff. What can I also have a fighting diary. So
Right.
like every day at training, at the end of the day, I'll just like write, okay, what did I work on today based on what I had to work on yesterday, which I talk with my coach as well, like in Cyprus now. And he's like, okay, yesterday we saw, and last week we said we're gonna work on this. So we focus on that today. And then what went well, what could I could have done better, and how do I could have done it better? New ideas. So it's sort of like four or five things, like short sentences, like I write and just like programs my brain to like be more efficient to like sort of work on that, So and improve on that certain thing, and it helped massively. The last I have had the fighting diary from the last 3 months, and my brain is so much more like neat and tidy, more like I've got this task and boom. And also during fighting, it helped me a lot with tactics, with this and that, just getting like an order in chaos. So I like also in sparring days, watch like my fights and then write in my diary. So it just helps you like I think help your brain understand what's important and what you need to improve more, and then it you're more programmed to improve on that certain thing faster.
Sure.
So that's the idea. Yeah.
And so, and just in terms of your training, as we're talking about that, what does your average week look like now? Now you're in Cyprus. So what does a week look for Pan?
Hard. Yeah. It's interesting though, like as I said, I am trying to discover like myself, how disciplined can I get? So like how hard can I go? How much hard can I push my body? And yeah, there is a limit, like obviously. So like I've got my S&C coach and my coach, karate coach. They're in sort of like an open line, and they talk like so like the volume doesn't get like too high, and then I get injured, and then you know. So but it's 20, I think I was talking with my S&C coach, and I was like, oh my god, my like 25 out of 30 days per month, I'm like, my body's sore. That's the way it is though, to get the adaptations you need, to get the like to your muscles to grow a certain way, to be more flexible, to be more explosive.
Yeah.
I do right now. I've integrated into a sprinting, one sprinting session per week, and two weightlifting sessions. Also three stretching sessions. Because we identified that like the one thing that really needs like more attention is it's my flexibility, which like is not on a world class level yet. So it's like a bit of a gap in my like matrix. So yeah, and then I train karate every day except Sunday, and sometimes twice karate, and then I've got my weightlifting session or my sprinting session. But it goes like Monday's high day, which I've got like two or three sessions, and then Tuesday is a low day where I only got one like light karate session, where we're just like, you know, it's medium, I'd say, not light, medium karate session. And then you go like to high again Wednesday, two or three sessions, and then again one session like karate on Thursday, and then high on Friday, and then Saturday just one sparring session. Then I do my stretching sessions also like on a low day.
Yeah.
So sort of like that. And then in between I teach karate, and boxing.
Fantastic. So you've got a good periodized structure there in your week where you're
you cannot compete at the highest level. Like if you don't have a structure, if you're not disciplined. So it's just like, you know, it's a delusion. If you want to be, you might make it through your national team. After that, maybe you have a good day, you go to top eight, you know, but you can't compete like at the world class level against national teams like that I've got millions of budget without yourself being disciplined and like focused and like this. But how again, I talked about being so tough here, you need to train that, and you know, visualization is good, it's like 5 minutes, but what about all the like hours and hours of training? That's still like focused training, that's still like discipline training. That's so the more you are disciplined to your training and the tougher you get here as well. So
yeah, and so you're not essentially...
there's no shortcut. That's what I believe, that's how I see it.
Absolutely, I agree with you 100% there. But in terms of your rest and recovery, you're essentially just mixing different levels of intensity and volume to ensure that you're recovering, but you're still attaching your mind and body to the process through the week.
Yes. It's the model that the coach and my S&C coach came up with, and I'm happy with it. I feel more fresh this way. Sort of like Paul Newby was doing something similar to us in England. So when I came back to Cyprus, I talked with them, and were like, okay, is it this model? And then I was like, maybe, I'm not sure, like, you know, like, because it was Paul's method, I guess. And then And so we came up with this model like on sort of on our own, like
And then
yeah, but like through like experience and ideas, and then they had like their own model, and we're like we sort of came up with this one, and I think it's widely used anyway, like a similar one, like with most professional athletes. Yeah.
yes.
So it depends though on your schedule. It depends like on many things, like the model, and if it works for you, like, and you're happy with it. So, and you see results. So like, it's good. But like, I don't write off any model, you know. So,
Sure.
and I'm not an expert on that, like performance, and it's a whole other thing. Like I fight, so like I leave that to my S&C coach and my karate coach to deal with, so I don't have to deal with it, you
Yeah.
know.
And what's the transition been like moving back to Cyprus, starting to teach? Is it your own academy or a friend's academy you teach at your own
No,
place?
it's my own. I started my
That,
own job.
yeah, so you've opened your own club, but you're still competing at, the highest level. So how's that transition been for you, and what learnings have you had to take from your own experience to give to your students?
The transition from England to Cyprus was weird, I'm not gonna lie. Last year, now I live in my own flat, but like last year, I moved in back in with my parents to like save some money, see how I like set up my own club and stuff. Like, so yeah. It was weird moving back in with my parents, you know, living for 7 years without them. Like, I used to fall out a lot with my dad.
I had to move in with my parents years ago.
too much testosterone in the same place. It didn't work
Yeah.
well. But you know, I love my dad. I love my parents. It just, you know, you need to move on your own.
I empathize
Like no, for me personally, like I needed my own place, you know. So it's a lot better now. My routine is so much better. I'm just a lot more relaxed, stress free.
that.
But I live with my girlfriend in my own place. So and I just have like a routine which I love. Love teaching, love coaching. So yeah, and I love training. I love competing. So it's yeah, the routine is brilliant. I cannot complain. Club is going well. My numbers are up this year. Like last year, it was a bit low. You know, it was the start. I didn't start in September, where like the year started. I started in October. I was a bit late, because of the qualifying event. You know, being in July,
Yes.
and all that. So
Have
yeah.
you found being a coach has made it harder to be a competitor, or have you found it easy to just split your time and focus on one and then just focus on the other?
If you do it right, I think it helps so much. It helps so much because like you learn so much faster. And like I've been reading like a few studies lately, which says like if you try to teach someone, your brain questions everything, you know, and then it reinforces that, and then you sort of like forms like better neurons and better neural paths for what you want to teach to the other person, than just practicing it. So it's like you learn four times faster when you teach something to someone than like practicing it on your own, you
Yes.
know. And you're super conscious when you wanna like teach something to someone, because like you're what's the word? You are accountable for what you teach, you know.
Yeah.
What if it's wrong, you know? So yeah, I think if you do it right and you use up the sort of like the gray matter battery you have per day, use it up correctly so you can perform during your training. Don't get me wrong, your training is super important. And then you have sort of like extra gray matter for the teaching hours, then yeah, it helps a lot, I think. It just you re-go over stuff that you like don't work at the moment. It's like you're working them and without even like training and breaking a sweat. And it just your brain keeps working and working and working, and then you find solutions, you problem solve for them, so you problem solve for you, because like you're gonna use them solutions later on, like during your fighting, you know. So it's a brilliant experience on its own, but it also helps with, I think, fighting. And if you do it right, though, if it drains you and you cannot perform at your training hours, which are the most important, then take a step back, see what's going on. See if you can manage it first, because like me, sometimes I felt like, oh, I'm just like not focused enough during my training session, which is late at night, because I teach a bit more. I teach a lot before. So I'm like, okay, what do I need to do? So we integrated caffeine in my like daily nutrition. So, and then I take an espresso shot, and then it's just like boom. So I'm like super focused now, even at night. So it's like, and I never used to drink coffee. But it's magical, honestly. It was like, wow. Like I can just like do so much more now, taking so much more information now, like, 'cause I'm just so much more alert. It's just like, wow, you know. So yeah, like every day now, take an espresso shot like around 2 p.m. and then it just like boosts me for the rest of the day until like, yeah, night when
Nice.
I need to get some sleep. Yeah, it's good, it's good. So I'm just, yeah, don't find any excuse. Find a way to make it work, I think, because like teaching helps with fighting. I'm sure teaching fighting helps for fighting.
Yeah.
So, but if there is no way you can make it, so you're like at your highest focus level during your training session, then take a step back and don't teach that much.
Yeah,
But yeah.
advice. And what age groups are you teaching at the moment?
All age groups. I teach from 5 year old kids up to 45-year-old men and women. Yeah,
Nice.
all levels. Right, not all levels, because like right now all my students are like beginners. So, but like all abilities, I'll say.
Yeah. And are you going to be a club that is, geared towards competition? Is that going to be the
Oh
focus?
yeah, I only teach sport karate, yeah. So and boxing. So we're a sparring orientated and competition orientated club, without this like binding any person to like, oh, he's gonna compete, or if he doesn't or she doesn't
Yeah.
feel competing, it's up to them to decide. You know, I encourage people to compete because I think it's brilliant. It's as I said, you discover yourself. Your fears, everything. But if you don't want to do it, you cannot push anyone to compete. You know, it's at the end of the day, it's a fight. And okay, karate is semi-contact, but like, imagine in boxing, you push someone to compete, and it's just not right.
Yeah,
Yeah,
sure.
I believe in encouraging people to compete, and when
Yes.
they're ready. So yeah.
So you seem to be super active in your competitions. I see a lot on Instagram, you're posting a lot. And what has competition been like recently, and what are your goals for competition in the next year or so?
Recently, it went really well. It was the Cyprus Nationals, which I won both my section and the open weight, which
Fantastic.
was really, really good for me. And that's the second year in a row that I won both. So I won
Brilliant.
it last year as well, like double gold this year, double gold. So I'm happy that I've been consistent, you know,
Yeah.
with the. So it's for me, it shows the progress I've made, and that now that I'm a lot more reliable and consistent with everything. And there's a certain feeling of I'm proud of myself for being consistent in training, being so consistent with my regimes and all that. So
Yeah, that takes a lot of
like
discipline.
reflects on the results. So I'm like, and especially when like younger ones coming, I'm 29, almost 30 in February. I'll be 30. So And the younger ones coming up, and they're really, really good. A lot better than I were at their age. You know, every generation is better.
Yeah.
But then I feel like I was better last year. Now I'm even better, like a lot better than, like, you know, I think I've progressed more than them. So it was a nice feeling. Yes, in terms of international level, in terms of results, no, not very well. I went to the Europeans first round. I had Agayev. We drew 0-0,
Yeah.
and I lost on flags. Really close fight.
That's a fantastic result.
Nah.
It's Agayev.
Yeah. Yes, big name, but like I respect the guy a lot. But like, yeah. But as I said, I wasn't ready yet, I think. So it's a part of the process to really understand yourself, to perform at your best, and then keep being consistent. You know, if you cannot be consistently the best guys, then you're not one of the best guys. So right now, as of results, I'm not one of the best guys. So, but I want to prove that I am, because I know that I am, like, inside of me. So it's just, yeah, matter of time, I think. So it's just frustrating, you know, like looking back at it now, I'm not that frustrated, you know. But back then, like in May, when I lost, like in Euros, and then and I was so, like, frustrated, like I was like, ah, you know. But yeah, it just, time fixes everything and work fixes everything. Just learn to, like, keep walking and keep improving. That your day will come one day. Yeah. So the goal is not like to beat Agayev or to do this medal or to do this one. Like, you know, of course I want to be European champion and world champion, but like just be as good as I can get, you know, and be consistent at the top. So yeah, that's my goal. And whatever comes, you know. And also then I fought in Mediterranean Games, which I came seventh. Yes, and I lost to the guy that won it, like first round. I felt a bit unlucky with some decisions of the ref, but okay, it's what it is, you know. Sometimes it's gonna be like that, you know, the way karate is, subjective to the opinion of the ref. So, but if the ref believed that the other person was better, then I need to change, you know. So that's that. And then again, I lost in a very close fight, like in a draw, against Bosnia, that got the bronze. But I was happy that one of our team, like, got the very first bronze medal in Mediterranean Games for karate, for Cyprus. And I was very happy for him. So the whole team was, like, chuffed, you know. So inside, I was like, oh, I was so close, you know. I was out, and yeah, I thought I could go to the final as well. It just didn't happen. So, but it's okay. We move on, and
Competition, right?
sorry.
The nature of competition, I think. There's some.
Yes. But again, I just need to step up my game to be better and be more consistent, you know. So yeah, looking back, no hard feelings. And yeah, you just move on.
What advice would you give to those young fighters who are in their late teens, moving into the seniors, and they have these aspirations to be national champion, European champion, world champion? What advice could you pass on to those younger competitors?
Spar more.
Okay.
Spar more. In karate, we don't spar enough, I think. And since we've implemented, I think, in training, like sparring on a regular basis, full on sparring. But again, you need, like, the methodology to build towards that, and then use that information to then tailor your training. because like you go spar, you have this weakness, this good attributes, then how do you then proceed? Then for the whole week you train again, then again sparring, and then again, and then again. So it's like a feedback loop, which is like for me, in order to perform and be your best on the day of the competition, you need to do it again and again and again. What the closest thing that is to competition is sparring. So what you're gonna do at the competition, you need to replicate in training. So for me, spar more, spar, 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 and then use the information in sparring to then make up drills and make like progress, and then you everything as a fighter, you'll be more efficient with everything you do, I think, and then your growth is gonna be like a lot faster. That's like something that's really important for me. And then the rest, you know, you need a setup to support that, which is like S&C, like a good coach, everything. And believe more in yourself. If as a fighter, you know better than anyone else yourself, and your and the fight you just fought. Someone's opinion, looking from outside, is like, okay, you need to like the other person needs to have strong arguments about like what he says, you know, just like his opinion, it's emotional, it's like it doesn't even really care about you, you know, just believe more in your opinion, I think, like and not in your opinion, that's wrong actually. I'd say believe more in arguments, people having a like certain like I do this because of that. If a better argument don't arise, then keep doing that. If the other person just says like, oh, that's wrong, it doesn't matter who he is, you know, the what authority he has. If he doesn't have an argument about what's then no. So believe in arguments for me and be like, just be what's the word?
So you essentially have to.
Just get the dry feedback and just put it back in. But the feedback should be based on like solid evidence, you know? So that.
Question opinion and be strong in your own beliefs is very important.
Yes, because if you're not strong in your own beliefs, then one person is going to say this, one person is going to say that. You believe this, the coach says that, this guy says this, your parents says that. Me personally, I started listening to the people. People need two requirements in order for me to listen to them about my career. One is they need to care about me, and two is they need to know what they're talking about. So, like my parents qualify only for the first one, so they have I don't listen to them. Yeah, or I listen to them, but they won't make the first like filter if they don't have solid arguments. You know, I listen to everyone. I don't I listen to everyone, but then your filters need to be this, you know, and then arguments need to like then you need to they need to have solid arguments. But if the other person doesn't care about you, then this is like a no-no.
Yeah, so you need that balance.
Yeah, so yeah.
Like it. I like it.
But yeah, it's like or a coach, like not your coach, someone else's coach. May give you an advice, and but does he care about you? Well, yeah. So it's just like he needs to have solid arguments. If he has solid arguments and evidence, then good, you know. But he doesn't. Many people don't care enough for you to give you this evidence. They just like just say something because they're emotional at the moment, and you just like think they can help or whatever. But no, it's not like that.
And like you said it earlier in the interview, you've got to put the work in. You've got to put those days in every week and be consistent. You know, it's very easy to get distracted with, you know, everyone's busy lives going on. You know, and you don't get anywhere in this game without that consistency and that hard work.
Yeah, no, there's no shortcut. Yeah. But it's a good thing, I think, because it makes you different beast.
Yeah,
Like,
absolutely.
yeah, and the confidence to, like, as I said, to stop listening to the other person, going back to what we said before, comes from this as well, you
Yeah.
know, because you've done this again and again and again and again, that you know it so well, you're like, what is he on about? Like, no, you know, so
I
yeah.
just listened to an interview with John Danaher, who's a famous grappling coach.
Oh, he's my idol.
Yeah.
Really? Did you
Yeah.
really?
He said,
Oh my God. I follow him. I read every single thing. He, like, you know, his Instagram, he, like, he's the captions he writes every time. I just read it, like,
yeah.
usually every time, like, trying to extract every little thing of information. He's a genius.
Yeah.
He's.
But he said that confidence comes from physical experience and training, and you can to a small extent use imagery and visualization to build confidence, but ultimately it's your physical skill and presence that gives you the psychological confidence, and that only comes from hard work, you know.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah, most of my beliefs, to be fair, comes from John Danaher anyway. So I love
Right.
the guy. I love the guy. I think what he's done is brilliant, and yeah, just his results just are like, they don't lie. But what in everything he says, he reasons and backs it up with, like, solid evidence and information. And I love this about him. I think he's also an engineer. He studied engineering. He was also a bouncer in his life. He did lots of things. But yeah, I'm an engineer myself. So, like, the way he structures information, like, is really vibing with my brain, like the way my brain works. So it really makes sense to when he's talking. Like, I'm like, yes, that guy is right.
Get him into karate.
Sorry.
We need to get him into karate.
Yeah, he will revolutionize it.
The
Yeah, for
DDS
sure.
for karate.
But I'll tell you what, like, you know who else is, like, sort of like John Danaher? Is Paul.
Yeah,
Paul
oh,
got the
fantastic.
same, like, life as John Danaher. He just, like, I was listening to a Gordon Ryan podcast, like, and he was like, yeah, John would just, like, train coach, then train himself again, and then he'd go home and watch, like, the wrestling nationals from 1999 or something like that. And then
Yeah.
Paul is not. He's
Yeah.
like, he's either training, coaching, or watches martial arts on his TV. And it's brilliant though, like, because he just programs his mind to be like, to always work and, like, problem solve and, like, find solutions and this and that, and just, like, give so much more information. He's programmed to take in more information about martial arts than other people. So yeah, it's brilliant, I think. And yeah, but going back to what you said, about the confidence and competence,
Yeah.
yeah, you cannot be confident without competence. And also, like, if you don't, let's say, going back to also what I said about sparring more, if you can't prove to yourself that, like, you're winning consistently in sparring, in training,
Yeah.
how can you win consistently at, like, competition with higher level guys?
Sure.
You know what I mean? So so confidence comes from proving to yourself again and again and again that you've got that skill. Hitting a bag with the most beautiful Urumawashi Gary doesn't mean anything
Yeah.
if you cannot do it consistently in sparring. Yes, maybe you can make it work. Yeah, and there are exceptions. There are people that just, like, do back work and do exceptionally well, but they're exceptions. Most people is what John Danaher says.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, yeah, I just believe in the latter. And
Yeah.
also, like, some people might win, but can they win consistently? You know, and so it's sort of like that.
Yeah,
So, I,
absolutely.
yeah.
So, Pan, it's been really fantastic to talk to you today. It's been a real pleasure. Great to see you after a couple of years, and wish you all the success with your school. I'm sure it'll be fantastic and successful, and all the best for your competition career to come. And hopefully, we'll get you back on the show in a little while.
Any time, my friend, it's it. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, and I hope we meet again. I'm actually coming to England on Wednesday, but
Fantastic.
yeah. My girlfriend is English, so
Oh, cool.
yeah.
Christmas in
Christmas
Christmas.
with their family.
Yeah,
Sorry?
say Christmas in the UK. Oh,
Yes.
great. I
It's
think
a
you just
lot more
really
Christmassy
see.
than Cyprus, the sunny Cyprus, you know, so just to get in the spirit.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, so yeah, but I hope we also meet, like, not in a podcast level, and we just discuss about your martial arts journey.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
You're a BJJ black belt now?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Wow, man, you should be so proud of that. That's brilliant.
I feel pretty proud of it. I see Paul just got his promotion last week.
Yes, I've talked to him, and he's so chuffed. He's so
Yeah,
chuffed.
I had a
Like,
chat as well, and it's one of those things that takes so long to get, you know, not for everyone, but for us older guys, it takes a long time.
I
And
was actually thinking that same thing that you just said. Like, I was thinking, like, a medal can come when you're like 20, 21, a big medal, you know. But BJJ black belt, he just, like, you just need to be so patient, like, you know. And it like it's just like you just need to wait
you gotta persist.
and grind and graft and grind and graft and get better and better and better. It's you should be so proud of it. And Paul, of
Yeah,
course.
I
Yeah.
am. Thank you very much. Yes. Thank you. And great to see you, mate. All the best. Happy Christmas to you. And thanks for being
You
on the
too.
show. Cheers.